coming and realizing, Father, those things that are not of you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring them to the surface in our life. And when they do come, we reject them and renounce them in the name of Jesus. And then we ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill our cup, fill our cup, fill our cup with the things that are of you. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that as a Christian, we have that privilege, we have that right, we have that power, we have that authority, and we are able, we are fully able if we will submit to that each and every day, especially when we arise in the morning. Now, Lord, as people come to give their tithes, their alms, and their offerings, I pray that they do so, Father, praying over their offerings, asking God to multiply it in his kingdom for his purposes. And, Father, at the same time, Lord, as they come and pray up at the altar for the 10 or so that are unsaved in their lives, I pray that, Father, all of heaven will hear, and angels will be immediately dispatched to those we're praying for, Father, and conviction will come, and people will be getting saved even as we pray. And we do this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to just give you just the way that God wants me to give it to you, okay? So you're going to get one scripture today, and we talked about it last week, and it's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And remember what we said. They're going to attack God. For God. Okay? Then they're going to attack man. For so loved the world. Mankind. So these cults are going to attack the truth about God, the truth about man, that he gave his only begotten Son. They're going to attack the truth about Jesus, that whoever believes in him, so they're going to attack your faith, what you believe, which is what's in here. And then it says what? But shall in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. They're going to attack heaven. Well, there's no hell and there's no heaven. Get it? So there's five parts to this one scripture that these faiths are going to attack, and it's all in that little booklet for you to have. What I'm going to do for you today in these three areas I talked about, as soon as I pray here, is simply read to you this scripture translated in the way that these cults would say it. So what you're going to get is you're going to hear me say the wrong thing about this scripture the way these cults, these three major cults, believe it to be, so that you can see the huge difference between the two, okay? And I'm just doing that just for emphasis because they're the biggies in the country, and again, I'm wanting you to just get a little bit of it. So we're going to give that right now, okay? Again, this is to help prepare and for you to defend the gospel from these false religions, okay? And so we're going to use, again, these particular handouts I gave you, or you're going to use them, should you come across a knock on your door that's not from a Christian, okay? So let's start with the Jehovah Witnesses, because I think everybody, how many people have ever been approached in your door by a Jehovah Witness before? Yeah, it's about everybody, okay? They have no problem sharing their faith with you. You should have no problem. Most will slam the door, shut the door, no thank you. Or if you really want to get rid of them real fast, say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. He's God. And they'll leave because they don't believe that. And they don't want to get, they're not going to tangle with you. My suggestion would be, yeah, I'll let you come on in if you give me 10 minutes. I'll give you 10 if you give me 10. Or I'll give you 15 if you give me 15. So you listen to their spiel and let it go in one ear and out the other. And then you give them 15 minutes of the truth, which you now have in your lap. And all you have to do, it'll take 15 minutes just to just read those scriptures. And if at the end of that, you know, the Spirit's moving you and you haven't really convinced them otherwise, they say, well, you know, thanks for coming by today, but I would really encourage you to study what I just gave you, or to ponder what I just gave you, because you're being misled. Or however God wants to put it for you, okay? So that's kind of what we're going to be doing today, giving you some ammunition to evangelize with, especially when it comes to these cults. And listen, when we get into Colossians, which will be in about a month, and get into that book, Paul attacked the heretics. He attacked all the false religion that was coming in there because they had learned about Jesus Christ. And then all these heretics came in. Judaism tried to come in, get them into legalism. He was trying to say, no, 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 you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to do all that stuff. That's all gone now. Jesus, you know, they were trying to take the Colossians and bring them down with all these other heretical things. So this is going to tie into a lot of what we're going to be covering to make you the most powerful evangelist you've ever been in your life. Because truly, instead of just coming to church, you want to be effectual for the kingdom, right? You want to be able to give a testimony, your testimony. You want to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father, and you don't want that. Never be ashamed of Jesus. The truth will always set people free, okay? So let's look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, they're committed, and they are determined. I wish we were as committed and determined, but we need to be committed and determined just like they are. And that's about all they got right, is that they're committed and determined. Unfortunately, they are sincerely false. They are sincerely false. Here's John 3:16, as you see it up there, as they would write it in their religion. For God was so uninvolved in the world that he sent Michael the archangel. Obviously, they believe that Jesus was Michael the archangel. His first creation, and believe that he was created, Jesus. Of course, this is Michael the archangel. So they were so uninvolved in the world that he sent Michael the archangel, his first creation, the son of a non-personal, invisible, active force. The son of a non-personable, invisible, active force. How many know here God's a person? Jesus is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. They are not God the Father is spirit, but an active, invisible force? This is not Star Wars, the force be with you. They sincerely believe this. Let me just finish reading it instead of trying to preach it. You got it in there and you can study it yourself. So here it is. For God so was so uninvolved with the world that he sent Michael the archangel, his first creation, the son of a non-personable, invisible active force, to get beat up and killed in his place, that whoever was willing to go door to door should not be annihilated, but have a chance to be a part of the first 144,000 contestants who would receive everlasting life in heaven. Wow. You believe that? Neither do the Jehovah's Witnesses. They had to change their theology because they believed only the 144,000, the first 144,000 that knocked on the doors and were able to convert people, they believed that they would be the only ones going to heaven. But guess what? The numbers in their ranks grew. They became more than 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses. Now there's probably millions. So where do the rest of them go? They changed their theology. Now 144,000 are going to heaven, and the rest of them remain here on earth. You can see how false this is. I don't know who makes this stuff up. Was it Ellen White or not Ellen White? I don't know who it was. It's in you could tell me. It's in your thing there. But whoever the founder was there, who was it? Russell, Charles Russell. So we got Christianity going on for 1,800 years? And along comes Russell. Hey, I got a revelation that nobody else over the last 1,800 years, even the apostles, didn't get. And this is what it is. There's going to be 144,000 of us going. And da-da-da-da-da. Why would you believe in anything that has come about in the last 100 years to change the way the gospel's been for the last 2,000? The Bible's been written in about 4,000 to 6,000 years of history. All of this is for us, and yet people will believe somebody who got this special revelation in the last 50 to 100 to 200 years. Are you kidding me? That's your biggest basis. If this some religion just started a couple hundred years ago, 100 years ago, that ought to be your first clue. Uh-uh. The Bible is what it is. It's the Word of God, and it's been around and transcended the ages and lasted and outlasted every book that's out there, and it will last until Jesus comes back and takes us home. It should be actually in you, part of it anyway. So that's the Jehovah's Witnesses, right? They previously believed that the 144,000 would be saved, but that changed. So that's just part of it. You can read the rest of it in your book there. I already told you that, They think Jesus is Michael the Archangel and the Holy Spirit's an energy. That's why I say if you just tell them the Holy Spirit is a person and he is God, they'll leave. Because they believe that the Holy Spirit's an energy. It's a force. Oh, and the Holy Spirit, he's got power. And he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. But he is a person. Holy Spirit. Okay? And by the way, they think the Trinity is a doctrine of the devil. So if you talk about the triunity of God, which I explained over the last couple of weeks, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal, but again, they're all three co-equal of one substance, but in what? Manifest in the spiritual realm, manifest in the physical realm is Jesus. Remember we talked all about that? God is manifest in three different ways. So we call it the triunity of God, but they're all the one God. Okay? Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that. It's doctrine of the devil. They think we're crazy. Okay? Is Trinity mentioned in the Bible? Not the word, but the concept is throughout the entire book. The whole purpose, the concept, the entire what we need to know about God says that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all the Godhead. They're all one. Let us make man in our image. It tells you right out of the gate in Genesis. Let us make man in our image. Please. Okay? They think hell doesn't exist, by the way, Jehovah's Witnesses, and people are just annihilated. There's a lot of people that believe that when you die, you just cease to exist. Boy, are they going to be enlightened. When their body, they're going to be looking and going, whose body is that? Where am I? Because your spirit and your soul, what you think and what you remember and all that stuff, that's going to stay very, very viable. The last breath you take will be your first breath before God, either to be judged to go to hell or to live forever in paradise with him. But they believe you'll be annihilated. You just won't know anything, okay? And, of course, no resurrection of Jesus or mankind, because if Jesus, was a man, he could never have been resurrected. Not by without the power of God. Okay? Now let's go to the Mormons. The Mormons' version of what John 3:16, you see up there, should look like. And I'm just going to read it. Okay? Okay? For Adam God, now notice it's not man God, but God man. Or they're saying man God. And it's Jesus was God and man. But this means man God, Adam God. That's how it's written. Not God Adam, but Adam God. For Adam God, the God of this world, one of many gods, were so indifferent to the world that he sent one of the gods, the spirit brother of the devil. A polygamist. A polygamist is one who has many, many, many wives. The son of a fluid or substance. To die for certain less serious sins. That whatever males would believe in his church would be able to work their way to becoming gods themselves and have their own kingdom. So essentially, Mormons believe the Bible is incorrectly translated and they elevate the Book of Mormon to be the true gospel. They have their own book. They believe in many gods and that Jesus was a polygamist, one born of God's spirit children, and was the spirit brother of Lucifer. Oh my gosh. And they also believe they can become gods themselves. Now, are they going to tell you outright that's the way it is? Of course not. Just like the devil doesn't come with a cape and a pitchfork and pointy ears and come at you with a red suit on and say, hey, I'm the devil. I want to speak into your life. How does he come? Like an angel of light. The devil was an angel. He wasn't a guy with a long tail and a pitchfork and pointy ears. This is what man has made him out to be. He was an angel, and he can appear as a man. And you might not recognize them, just like you might not recognize talking to an angel who can physically appear from the invisible spiritual world. So we have to understand that when they come at you, the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, they're going to try to sneak in by saying, oh, we believe in Jesus. Oh, and they do. They just don't believe he's fully God. Right? So when they're talking about God, Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. We believe in the Holy Spirit. It's a substance. Are you kidding me? No, Holy Spirit's God. He's a person. See what I'm saying? They're going to use language that's going to appear to be correct. That's how they get you. They get you to come in, because if you're not well-read or you don't have what's sitting in front of you, you just don't know. And when they start arguing their points, you're going, well, that might be a valid point. I don't know. I can't argue with that. And we get fumbled and jumbled when they come into our house and we don't know what to say. That won't happen anymore, because you're now equipped. You have information enough to either change them and get them thinking, or for them just to leave your home with your understanding that what you have and what you believe is the absolute truth, not something that was made up. And I always go back to 1800 and something, where some guy hits this revelation. Who are you going to believe? Those that were witness to Jesus Christ's resurrection, the apostles who walked with him for 33 and a half years, God come as a man into the world and was resurrected and is now at the right hand of the Father, and it's been around for 2,000 years, and then some guy comes over and in 100 years you're believing this stuff over here? It means it's ludicrous. But yet there are so many people that get sucked into it. It's kind of like where we are today I don't even know if I want to go there. In the United States of America. Just look around you and see what life is like. Are we better off today than we were 4 years ago? Forget what anybody says. Don't listen to anybody. How good are we today? And what's our future going to look like if we vote for a certain person or another person and stuff like that? Common sense should lead us, not political parties. Give me a break. Democrat, independent, Republican. Scrap all that. Vote for the person who is going to head our country, that's going to at least lead us down a road that's going to be more Christian than the other one. It'd be nice to have a fully born-again, spirit-filled Christian up in the Oval Office. Well, maybe one day God will have that. But in the meantime, we got to pick the best out of the choices that we have. But it's just like these cults. I mean, some things are just common sense, and yet there are people who will continue to refuse to believe what they see with their eyes right in front of them. You don't have to live by faith that way. You're actually in the midst of it. You see it. God's made it easy. Devil, God. Principle of the devil, principle of God. Love, hatred. I choose love. Hatred. It's that simple. But yet, I guess we have too many simpletons that just choose to go with the flow. Peer pressure. Maybe they just don't take the time to look into anything past a minute. But whatever it is, folks, it's not going to be you. You need to be read up, you need to be prayed up, and you need to be well equipped, because the times that we're coming and we're going to face ahead of us are going to take a church that's walking in victory, a church that's teaching the truth and not afraid to approach the hard subjects. Because you're going to get approached with them. And if I can't bring it to you from the pulpit and bring you the truth and help you along in that fashion, then what's going to happen when you get attacked by all these people and have nothing to say because you don't know even what to say or what, you know? We need each other. And it's not just the leadership here. It's you guys. You should be just as strong as I am when it comes to that. I may have a few more scriptures under my belt, but I can't give you chapter and verse. I'm terrible with that stuff. I know where to go to get it. But you know what? This will get you through the murkiest of storms, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Right? He was the light. He had the bright and shiny nose. It was the light that pierced the darkness. The only reason they could see. And of course, this is fantasy. This is not truth. This is fantasy, but it's a great picture of the light piercing the darkness. This is the light piercing the darkness. So stick it on your nose. So these Mormons believe they can become gods themselves, okay? So here's another cult's version of John 3:16. It's the Unification Church. The Unification Church. You'll see that a lot. You got to be careful there. They change their names a little bit and stuff like that. So you have to look in, probably your pamphlet will tell you about it. They're called the Moonies. I mean, you're called the Moonies. You ever heard of the Moonies? The Moonies are the Unification Church. And so here's John 3:16 according to the Moonies. For God was so powerless that he sent his son to mistakenly die for nothing, enabling a humble multimillionaire named Sun Myung Moon to successfully finish Christ's mission. So they believe Sun Myung Moon finished what Christ couldn't do. Not in my book. And this guy, Sun Myung Moon, was able to save everyone who has ever lived, no matter what they had done. Folks, I don't know where they get this stuff from, but it's all listed in your pamphlet there. I'm just going to mention one more cult, which most people know as New Age. New Age. Okay? And again, I'm not going to, it's impossible to translate that into New Age, because New Age is so out there. It includes like Hinduism and Buddhism, and New Age takes all these different religions in, says you can be anything that you want to be. But I'll just, again, talk a little bit about it. It stems from the New Age's root and date back to the Babylonian occult religions. To the Babylonians, way back then with the Babylonians. Also Hinduism and Buddhism. This is where they get their roots from. This is where they get their beliefs from. And you can read it in your pamphlets there. Their thrust is to forsake God's way of life. I'm just putting it simple for you. Their thrust is to forsake, to move away from God's way of life, and to believe the Satan's promise that by rebelling against God, man could be as gods and never die. You can be just like God. And you'll never die. God just doesn't want you to know that. Does that sound familiar? Does anybody remember where that occurred the very first time? Eve. You can be just like God. Eat the apple. Or whatever fruit it is. I'm not getting hung up on that. Eat the forbidden fruit. And your eyes will be opened and you'll be just like God. And we know what happened then. Sin came into the world. Mankind was condemned to death, hell, and the grave. And if it wasn't for Jesus, we'd all be going to hell. So here's a cult, New Age, that says, hey, you can be just like God. Just meditate. Think about how powerful you are. Oh, my goodness gracious me. So these two thoughts, becoming a god and never dying, are the basis of the New Age movement. Becoming a god and never dying. You'll see more of it in your pamphlet, which you can have. But that's, you know, when I go through this, I don't go through, you know, 7, 20, 30 hoops. Just give people the basics. Look, you know, your religion stemmed only 100 or so years ago, and it's coming out of this or that. And, you know, use your Bible. So in conclusion, I told you it wouldn't be long today. You've got what you need in your lap. All so-called Christian cults have attempted to misrepresent God, misrepresent Jesus, and misrepresent the Holy Spirit as being less than they really are. That's what a cult does. And they misrepresent man, listen to me, they misrepresent man as being more than he really is. See, these cults elevate man that we're it. We're the dominant race. We can become gods. And they say, and God himself, he's just a fluid substance somewhere, and don't worry about it. So they're demoting God, and they're elevating man, okay? Now, they substitute the true gospel, which is faith in what only Christ's death and resurrection could accomplish, for a false gospel, which says that man's own works can make him acceptable to God. So it's faith versus works. It's faith in what Christ has freely given us, or you reject that and say, I'm going to earn my way to heaven, which you'll never, ever be able to do, because you lose coming out of the gate. You are born into sin. Sin separates you from God, and the only bridge of sin to the Father in heaven to cover that sin, to get you into heaven, is the cross of Jesus Christ. Not Hinduism, not Buddhism, not New Age, not Mormonism, not Jehovah's Witness, not any of the ones you got listed in your pamphlet there. And the scriptures that are at the end will tell you that. It's why I'm not covering them today. You can read those yourself. One way, that's Jesus. So be encouraged. You now know some of the basic beliefs of some of the more common cults. And as you get to know your Lord more intimately by getting into the Word, you're going to be able to defend the gospel. And even possibly, get this, convert some of these wayward thinkers into the Christian believers. You're going to get an opportunity to maybe get some of these people thinking and actually changing and getting truly saved, right? So I just bless you right now in Jesus' name in all of your outreach. Whatever God brings to you in your sphere of influence, I bless this entire congregation that they will study this, that they will look up scriptures, and that they will be well prepared to go out into the world that we're living in today to counteract and to come against the false religions, not in a demeaning, derogative way, but in a very inviting, loving way, to just simply tell people that, you know what, can you just listen to me for a little while? I've got some truth to give to you, and I pray that you will receive it, and I pray that you receive where in my heart that it's coming from. So, Lord, I pray a soft, soft, loving heart on all those that are in the congregation today to be able to defend the gospel and to deliver the gospel the way that Jesus would deliver it, Father. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for this series on evangelism. And I pray that, Father, in the future, as we develop and grow here at this church, we'll have some things that are going to come available and are going to be made available to you to participate in a greater level of evangelism that you ever have participated before. And that's going to be exciting. So, Lord, I just thank you for this congregation. I love them. I pray you protect them as they leave here today, that they will fellowship throughout the week. And, Father, if you should so tarry, we will come back together again next week. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.